This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Otepoti Youth, Vibe Check.
Vibe Check on Youth Zone is all about the young people and youth support organisations in Dunedin.
Fortnightly Wednesdays at 4:30 p.m. hear about what's coming up around the city. Podcasts are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and oar.org.nz.
Kia ora everyone, welcome back to Vibe Check, a show on the youth support organisations and events in Otepoti, Dunedin. We are here today with Ocean Jade.
Hello. Kia ora. Thanks for having me.
Yay! So Ocean is the host of Virtuality, which is a new podcast series here on ORFM Youth Zone. Ocean was also here for Layers of Identity. We're going to talk about that a bit as well. But do you want to introduce yourself to the people listening?
Yeah, so I'm Ocean Jade. I'm currently in my postgrad honors year in media communications at the local university, University of Otago. And I'm 20 years old, just flatting here, living the classic Dunedin student life. And I love all things creative, so writing is my main thing, but getting into podcasting has been really fun as well. I just love all things media, hence my podcast being about media, virtuality, the internet, the works, yeah.
And with your studies in media communication, can you tell us a bit about what you're doing there?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, I'm just in my honors year, so this is more of like an independent, research-based year. I'm basically doing a dissertation along with like a few other extra 400-level papers, and my dissertation is on AI companionship in the current Western neoliberal market. With a narrower focus on masculinities, the sort of neoliberal man and how he feels as though he's been abandoned in this neoliberal market, and sort of relocates that control and freedom with the subservience of AI companions / virtual girlfriends, if you've heard
what?
Of them.
This is so cool.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely coincides with like the internet culture that I get into on virtuality. This is basically just like a boost for my dissertation. Like I'm the two work really well together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very motivating. Yeah, and relevant.
Because you're doing all your research for your paper anyway, you might as well talk about it.
Yeah. And some of the research that I do for the podcast is also helpful for my dissertation. So yeah, two birds, one stone. Yeah.
Wait, can you tell us a bit more about your research? I love how there's elements of masculinities, gender as well, just like the social dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I took a few gender studies papers in my undergraduate years of study. Was super interested. I didn't like minor in it or anything. They were just interest papers. But I took this one paper in particular called Masculinities in my third year of undergraduate study. And I did this paper for that class called Men and Their Machines. And I sort of just like get into the history of man and machine, and with like a very like gendered emphasis on the term that I assume like a lot of people hear, oh, man and machine intertwined. Yeah. But I, yeah, take masculinities sort of like approach and pin it down to like the culture, like the kind of like dude bro culture of like Silicon Valley and trace it back to hacker culture and sort of like cyberpunk culture, geek culture, where a lot of these like tech entrepreneurs and like leading figures in technological advancements, specifically like AI startups and stuff, were the geeks of like their generation. And basically like computers were their sort of escapism away from, like, the real world, because they felt as though they were, like, socially sort of anthropic, I guess. And, yeah, so I connect that back to their status of today, which is more elevated, more, one could argue, like, hegemonic. And I just think about, like, that power dynamic, I guess, and look at how gender relations are reinscribed in technology. I mean, like, say Facebook, for example, that was originally created to basically rate the, like, attractiveness of, like, women at, like, Mark Zuckerberg's university or whatever. Yeah, so it's very intertwined with gender, technology, that is, which I don't think a lot of people realize. And I also was really fascinated with the development of AI chatbots. And, I mean, obviously everyone knows ChatGPT, but there are so many other, like, chatbot websites, applications, huge large language models that are meant to be companions. And in some cases, you, like, will form a friendship with them, quote unquote, or even, like, a romantic relationship. And that's really interesting in, like, our current conversation of intimacy. And, like, with neoliberalism, that's sort of, like, the, if you don't know what that is, that's, like, our current Western market prioritizing individualism. So a worker goes to entrepreneur. It's very much, like, leading away from a class struggle to an inner struggle. So you're not as, like, maybe socially and politically aware because you're so, I guess, like, entwined in, like, your inner turmoil. And so instead of, like, revolutionizing, you may be more prone to depression. And that leads to loneliness and isolation because you're sort of trying to reach this, like, or, like, attain this level of success that is unattainable other to, like, anyone other than those in, like, the 1%, I guess.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that generates a lot of loneliness and isolation. And I think of, like, male loneliness epidemics, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard of, and that sort of movement online in, like, the manosphere. So, like, digital, like, masculinity movements. And think about how those ideas connect in the context of AI companionship. In short, to sum it up, men in our neoliberal environment are lonely, and so a lot of them are seeking out these, like, artificial companions. Mm. Yeah, as a way to not sort of interact with, like, real women, people, because a lot of them may not have, like, friendships or romantic relationships in their lives, and so this is easier for them. They can control this, you know, they can stabilize this. But it's obviously reflective of, like, a very exploitative data harvesting sort of market. And, yeah, I'm going to get into that and hopefully not go down too big of a rabbit hole like I'm prone to doing.
Because privacy is also something that is a huge issue.
Yeah, privacy is, like, the huge sort of, like, because there aren't a lot of regulations around it since it's, like, such a new thing. And I mean, like, with the way that we deal with technology today, we are very openly giving out our information on these platforms. Like, we kind of feel like we need to offer it. Like, it comforts us to offer out all this information, which is definitely huge with AI chatbots. You know, you're, like, kind of consulting them. You're, like, Yeah, like some of them are like your therapist, whatever. You're sharing very personal things.
And they generate better responses the more honest you are.
Exactly. Mm. Yep, yep. It's just a loop that serves the market ultimately. Yeah.
Wow.
it's a lot.
I haven't really thought technology as gender.
Yeah.
Which is a really interesting point here. Mm. And my interest just comes from, you know, doing gender studies in my university years as well. Mm-hmm. So I am really interested to know more about what you do with your honors. Because how long do you take to do this research?
Yeah, so basically for my dissertation, that's going to span across the school year. And the process is basically just like I meet with my assigned supervisor every few weeks. You sort of just like set meeting times, and it's not as like uniform as your undergraduate assessments would have been, where you kind of have like strict guidelines and like maybe an assigned topic or something. Like, you have a lot of freedom with this sort of stuff, and the supervisor is just there to help you clean some stuff up, maybe lead you down like new pathways of thought for your research area, kind of assign you readings and stuff. I've only had like one meeting with my supervisor, so I'm still like very much in the beginning stages of processing my dissertation. Have a research proposal due like next week, which I haven't started. Mm-hmm. Oopsies. But I know where I'm going to take it, so it's fine. It's fine, right?
I wonder what you want to know with this big topic. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think will come out of your research?
I think for me, I wanted to, first of all, I mean, research a relevant topic. I really wanted to do AI, like chatbot specifically, because it's such like a new development, especially in academia. It's like very under-researched still because it is so new. And I think that like for me, I wanted to have an original approach, like an original take on it. And not many people have approached AI companionship from like a neoliberal and like masculinities angle. So that's where I wanted to connect the sort of like, I guess, like exploitative tendencies of these like AI companion chatbots, specifically in like a masculine context, and then also compare that to like digital masculinities. So I'm attempting to connect a lot of dots here, basically. And hopefully contribute a new way of thinking to the sort of like research field. Yeah.
You're definitely making the listeners think about this a lot as well. It's like, whoa, you never thought of it this way.
Yeah.
So tell us about virtuality. How did the idea come into place?
Well, I mean, when you approached me about possibly doing a podcast, I kind of didn't really take a long time to think about the topic I wanted to do. I was like, okay, I love the internet and digital technologies. There we go. There's my idea. And I think it's obviously a very relevant topic, especially to young people, especially in my generation, who grew up with this like advanced internet. And yeah, just sort of like, it's interesting with my generation, because a lot of us who had access to these like websites, whatever, and these like personal devices have come to like understand ourselves through a screen a little bit. It's like this, you know, online like curated identity versus your like interpersonal self. It's like an interesting dynamic, I think. So I just wanted to be able to talk about that And also talk about stupid stuff like fan fiction and, and like social media and yeah, other niche things. Yeah.
Tell me about what growing up around the internet was like for you. So you're in your 20s, right? Mm-hmm. So the people listening might be around different types of age groups. Yeah. So what was it like for you?
For me, well, I got my first iPhone when I was like 11. And I feel like that was sort of like I'd had access to personal devices before, but this was the first one that like I had complete control over, that I could just take with me anywhere. And I think my experience with it was like really initially overwhelming as much as it was fascinating, because I've always thought that like being online was like just this transformative experience where I could just like escape into these like digital identities, where information, like anything that I wanted to know, any burning like curiosity that I had, like I just hop online. But like at the same time, I think that because this was an age where like a lot of adults, specifically like parents, weren't super in the know about like how to navigate safety online, I think me and like a lot of other, probably most of the kids who also had these like personal devices, were not entirely sure how to avoid like just possibly like sensitive like things online or like explicit things online, that were just like not safe to be consuming when you were that age. So yeah, I think that like, I mean, it's good now that there's like a bigger movement for like advocating safety online, I think. Yeah, so back then it was just like still, it was just so like new and no one really knew what to do with it. It was just like, oh, this is this exciting new thing. And then, you know, so yeah, I'm glad that now it seems like people are more, a little more tech savvy, and generally like know how to operate these devices safely, especially if you have like children or work with children. I think that like having that sort of education in schools too is super important. But yeah.
The conversations are, you know,
yeah,
being held. What was social media like for you?
Social media, I mean, briefly put, it was so fun. Like I had just about every social media account you could think of. I had a YouTube account. I was an aspiring skit creator. I would show my like classmates my videos and stuff. Because I loved like scripting out things and like filming. I was super into film and media and stuff even when I was like a kid. And loved what we now know as TikTok was once Musical.ly, if you are old enough to remember that. Yeah, I loved making little dance videos. God forbid anyone ever sees them or finds them. But yeah, I just loved having fun online because I felt a sort of like, I felt like it made me extroverted in a way that I maybe wasn't so much in my real life. Yeah, like it made me a little braver and facilitated more like creativity for me. But it, of course, also came with its issues. But for the most part, it was really fun. Yeah.
You've only described all the positives.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to approach it like too like naively optimistically, because like it obviously took a while for me to like be confident in navigating online spaces safely. I was pretty lucky in the sense that like I just kind of picked up tech really quickly, and was able to avoid like a lot of possibly like potentially dangerous experiences that maybe some of my other friends of like my same age were experiencing, unfortunately. But yeah, Yeah. Again on that safety thing. I don't think the internet is something that like needs to spark like moral panics or anything, because the internet isn't the problem. It's an issue of like being knowledgeable about how to navigate those platforms. And once you have the knowledge, like, it's fine. Yeah, the internet isn't like a big bad guy, but it's also not overly good. You just gotta know what you're doing. Yeah.
So how do you manage your internet space? Mm-hmm. And how do you do it safely?
I think nowadays I'm pretty big on like privacy. So I mean, one of the most basic ways you could sort of like, I guess, be more in control of your privacy is like having private accounts. When they're open to the public, it can potentially open you up to some area, people, things that you don't want to be like super open to. So, yeah, private accounts, especially if you're a minor. I would actually say if you are a minor to maybe avoid posting your face publicly online. In an ideal world, we wouldn't have children influencers. I'd say that I'm not as attached to social media as I used to be. It's more of just like a thing that I have to use, like, I guess, like moderately. Yeah. And just like monitor my use of it. Make sure to not get like sucked in, because that's very easy to do. Doom scrolling, as they call it these days. Just make sure that you have a very like vibrant interpersonal life. As much as you do with your online life, if not more. Yeah, because having a tangible community is super important, but also, you know, have fun online too. It is a fun thing. Yeah.
That's very good advice for people to make their real life as exciting as the one that they curate online. And again, because it's online, you can create the life that you want.
Yeah.
I wonder if you've had any thought around how you use social media now and what prompted you to change the way you use it?
I think what prompted me to change the way I used social media was probably the time in my life where social media stopped like exciting me and fascinating me, and more so like made me a little like depressed and feel like dread or like envy for those who seemed to have much better lives than I did, because obviously online you're able to curate your life and show others only what you want them to see. So I think, yeah, like I said before, to reiterate, like it was a matter of knowing when to step back, and also just being like having a lot of self-awareness on like what, I guess, like getting too sucked into like the, I guess, like influencer sort of curation culture of like online profiles and stuff. And just like, yeah, having a reality check and being like, my life is like perfectly fine the way it is. There's no reason for me to compare myself to other people who may not be living as great of a life as I think they are. Like, I don't know most of these people, especially when you're like looking at influencers and stuff. Like, you don't know them. You know the digital them that they very much sort of curate. But yeah, just step back and take in your interpersonal life and appreciate that for what it is. Yeah.
this is a good overview of what virtuality is. So for those of you who are listening, you can find virtuality on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and also oar.org.nz. Do you have anything else you want to tell people about your show?
Not much, honestly. Right now, I've just kind of been getting into, like, the origins of the internet and, you know, definitions, theories and stuff. But I'm about to start getting into the more fun things.
Oh.
Like I mentioned before, like fandom spaces, Instagram editing culture, 2014 Tumblr, creepypastas, just like things that I liked when I was younger that are like just so influential for pop culture. So yeah, I mean, stay tuned if that sounds interesting to you.
So for everything around the internet and getting lost in cyberspace, listen to Virtuality. Thank you, Ocean.
Thank you.
Atepotik.
Zone is all about the young people and youth support organizations in Dunedin.
Fortnightly Wednesdays at 4:30 p.m. hear about what's coming up around the city. Podcasts are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.